different views in the mitzvos.
The question of, you know, counting, and the question of, you know, formulating mitzvos, etc., and how that relates to the question of bracha. And we've seen like a range of views. Just to clarify the last point that we were discussing, which was the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch is packed with different insights. As I said, I'm reformulating a little of it, but, you know, the spirit of it and, you know, what he brings out is very, very important. And just to make clear the last point, because a couple people asked me about it after the shiur, what I was trying to say in the last point is that the fact that the Chinuch considers being Megaresh in a different way, you know, to be a bitul aseh is surprising a little bit, or put it this way, is unanticipated. And, you know, we need to understand it. We need to reconstruct it. I wouldn't have predicted it. The reason is because typically, you know, if something just isn't chal, then, you know, one would think that it just doesn't register one way or another. So you could say there's a kiyum aseh when you are megarish in the proper way, which is the perspective that the Chinuch is conveying here, like the Rambam or in the path of the Rambam. But that's, you know, quite different than saying, you know, that if you do it in a different way, that you are kumva aseh violating something, or that somehow, you know, is offensive. You just say it's ineffective. And we're not talking about here, you know, again, it kind of relates a little bit, you know, to the model, let's say, of the discussion in the, you know, the Gemara and Tmura, you know, about, you know, the discussion of Rav and Abaya, Koma Adam Rachman Lo Savid, you know, Yavid, you know, Mahani or Lo Mahani, that's kind of the opposite side. But here, you know, Ma, you know, She Eino Moil, doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, one would think that, you know, that it would be meaningless. The truth is the Chinuch has a similar view. He has a bunch of similar views, but even in Ishus, the Chinuch famously has the view that if you're Mekadesh Chai Be'Krisus, you know, that is, of course, ineffective, as we know. There's no Tfisas Kedushin in Chai Be'Krisus, but the very effort to be Mekadesh Chai Be'Krisus, you know, is something that is, you know, it creates a kind of a, is at least a Tamaisa Iser, put it that way. It's something that the Chinuch says. So this idea of like extending, you know, bitul aseh, or, and, you know, in some cases, perceiving ineffective actions, you know, not just as, you know, as that, but, you know, seeing the very effort, you know, as offensive, is a pattern in Sefer HaChinuch. But I think that the, you know, in all cases, what it reflects is that, you know, the institutions involved and the, you know, reason for ineffectiveness are factors that contribute, you know, to negating, right, the purpose of the mitzvah. In other words, take the other example for a moment. The assumption seems to be that there's some sort of a Maisa Kiddushin, even if there isn't a Chalos Kiddushin. But more to the point, the very effort, right, to be Mekadesh, you know, Chai Be'Krisus, you know, isn't a neutral, ineffective act. You know, it's an offensive act. Because, in a way, it sullies or tarnishes, you know, Kiddushin itself. Maybe that's the reason that it doesn't work. Even if that's not the case, but it's kind of like a blow or a, you know, an offense, you know, against, you know, the institution. And I think that's what the Chinuch means here as well. So in a way, you know, it's less mechudash and it's more mechudash. You know, maybe it's less mechudash than being, you know, mekadesh chai be'krisus, which isn't kal, you know, because of their legal status. But, you know, at least when it comes to kiddushin, we understand, like, that's a positive, you know, institution. And, you know, it's a davar shebikdusha, kishmo kainu, you know, and everything else that goes along with it. And therefore, you know, even, you know, playing with it or giving the impression, you know, even attempting it improperly or with an improper or even an illicit, you know, partner, you know, does offense. But, you know, would that be the case, you know, for Gerushin, you know, Shalo Biksav? So what I think it highlights is what we've been trying to explain, which is, you know, beginning with the psukim and, you know, connected with this whole sugya, this last sugya in Gittin, and that is that, you know, it might seem that Gittin is nothing more, you know, than a mechanism. And, you know, it is, of course, true that it's a mechanism, you know, that ideally we would want to avoid because we would prefer that all marriages, you know, be ideal and idyllic. But, you know, since in the real world it's not, you know, you could just think, well, this is a necessary evil, or it's a kind of a it's a din, like to use the language of the Rivash and probably the perspective of, you know, the Bahag and others. But what we've been trying to show, based on the Psukim, certainly based on an analysis of Matsuk Rishaso, which we need to speak more of, and so on, is that in one respect, right, Gerushin is also a kiyum. It's a kiyum in that it protects, you know, the standards of Ishus, you know, or, you know, it contributes, you know, in some level by virtue of it being, you know, an exit strategy, you know, that can be invoked or applied or employed when needed, or even just, you know, it secures, you know, the sense that a marriage is a bond and not a, you know, jail sentence, things of that sort. So the institution of Gittin, you know, as with all of its ambivalence, you know, is a kind of a key. And of course the fact that it is Biksav, you know, whether that, you know, is part of the matir component of it, which, you know, builds Ishus even more, or highlights Ishus, whether it's, you know, for protecting, you know, against Zima and Znus, you know, in Klal Yisrael, like one of the reasons that the Chinuch himself projects, you know, whether it's, you know, a way of making sure that, you know, Gittin are not, you know, undertaken frivolously, a kind of a shaloye kalabienav or a, you know, get mekushar kind of idea, which is the other one that he, you know, formulates. But even more so, again, you know, the other factors that we've been discussing. So, like, you know, treating, you know, Gittin, trying to do it, you know, the wrong way, and this is our next point, trying to be megarish, you know, not like a, like a Jew who, you know, is involved in a marriage of Kedusha and institutions of Ishus of Kedusha, but, you know, in a way that is more, you know, I'm saying this, like a Benoach, we'll give this background in just a second, you know, is not just ineffective, it's offensive. And it, if anything, it negates all those points. What it does is it basically says, you know, Gittin, you know, is more trivial, more frivolous, the institutions are more trivial and more frivolous, you know, and it's more technical, it's just a legality, you know, etc. So making that statement by trying to megarish in an Ishus shel Kedusha, you know, in a way that, you know, for one or two or three or four different reasons, you know, are, you know, undercuts, you know, that perspective is a kind of bitul aseh. Yeah. First name again?
Natan.
Natan or Natan?
Natan, but if you say
Natan.
Natan. Yeah.
Okay. Because we have a, you know, a Natan, but he, I think, listening in, you know. But he's a Natan. Yeah.
I was wondering if it's possible to read the thing up a little more formally, in that he says it's mitzvah l'avrotz l'gar shadisha sh'yarshena b'shtar. Perhaps you could say that if he tries to be megareish, shalo b'chtav, or b'alpeh, there's like a giluy milta that he's rotz l'garish, such that, you know, we now activate the chiyuv that he does girushin b'shtar, which is now being mevatel by not doing so.
You mean, just because he's rotz l'garish means that he's mitzvah l'garish, yeah. And then once he's mitzvah l'garish, then not being megarish properly is a bitul of the mitzvah legarish.
Yeah.
So I think that's very clever. You know, so Yashu Koach for that. The only thing I would I don't like about it for the chinuch is that he himself is in the pattern of the Rambam. You know, and I don't think there's any evidence that the chinuch thinks, you know, that the circumstances ever engender a mitzvah legarish. I mean, he, even more than the Rambam, but, you know, as an interpretation of the Rambam, clearly, is emphasizing that the, you know, mitzvah is the derech, you know, kishe yirtze. There's not anything in there about, oh, you know, under these conditions, you know, as reflected by the kishe yirtze, he should kumvase get divorced. Okay. So that's why, I think, you know, there are plenty of mefarshim that we've already seen, that was yesterday's shiur, you know, who do think, you know, that the mitzvah legaresh, you know, is about the circumstances of the relationship and the kind of, you know, the kind of people involved, etc. The halachic compatibility, the actual compatibility, the behavior in the marriage, etc., which means, oh, in these conditions, you should be divorcing. You know, so to say there, oh, you should be divorcing, you know, and then you kumba say, you know, divorced improperly, so you're kind of like doing it but not doing it at the same time, and therefore that trigger, that's a kind of a isurase or a bitulase. I think it makes sense, is what I'm trying to say, and it's clever. But I just don't see it in the chinuch, because he, in the Rambam's, you know, pattern, doesn't seem to be, you know, going that direction. So I'd rather go with what he says, even though, again, to be clear, what he says clearly is, you know, I'm a Rambam, you know, aficionado, you know, when it comes to this particular mitzvah, certainly, and I'm expanding on it, as he does in Ishus, the same thing. In the Shirashim, you know, Kedarko, and sometimes even before the Shirashim, you know, the Chinuch throws out, you know, some other, you know, ideas. And methodologically, it's always a little tricky. Just I was talking about, you know, the question of, like, you know, reformulating or adapting it a little bit, you know, which I think is fine to do as long as we're not corrupting it and we're just, like, the way we're saying it is a little bit different. So, too, in the chinuch in general, there is an issue, and that is, you know, to what extent are the, you know, rationale, the tamia mitzvos, Sefer Chinuch is a tamia mitzvos work, and, you know, the Shiroshim are mostly, you know, where he expresses that. And the question whether or not, you know, that becomes is like an external factor, you know, aside from the halacha, you know, and even the lumdus of the halacha, you know, these are more additional, like, you know, motivations, what the Rav used to call, you know, why questions, or whether or not they are more internal, descriptive, you know, factors, what the Rav would call what questions, I think is always an interesting, you know, issue, you know, in the Sefer HaChinuch. We need to be a little bit, you know, careful about that. Number one, it's in the nature of the enterprise of Tamia Mitzvos, you know, that we need to be very careful, you know, about that. Like, a lot of this is what the Rav writes in the end of Halachic Mai, that, you know, a lot of the Rambams, you know, Tamia Mitzvos and Mor Nevuchim, for example, are very extraneous, and, you know, they're historical, they're negative meaning, like, you know, oh, this is keneged Avodah Zarah, this is keneged that, you know, those kind of things. And the Rav writes, you know, after establishing his, you know, credentials, you know, he basically writes, you know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, writing about the Rambam, you know, the family is invested in that, everybody knows my, unambiguous, you know, stance as a, you know, admirer and a, you know, a devoted Rambam, you know, person. But having said that, he says, like, you know, the Tamei Mitzvos of the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim are disappointing. You know, a lot of them are, as we said, historical, negative, etc. Then he goes on to explain that when the Rambam speaks about Tamei Mitzvos in Yad HaChazaka, you know, one of the foremost and famous examples being, you know, Kodesh El, you know, is here. So Uri Yeshenin Mishinaskem, you know, his explanation of, you know, of Tkiyas Shofar, he says those are more, you know, to my liking, as are the Ramban's, And basically what he's saying is, because they don't, you know, just explain in some extraneous way why these mitzvot are there, they really, like, bring out the what part, you know, they describe the mitzvah, they're part of the token of the mitzvah. So in general, this is a big issue. You know, it comes to like Darshin and Tam. What's the difference between Darshin and Tam and the Quran and Tam? I mean, we could talk about it another time. Actually, it's this week's Parsha is the time to talk about it. And that's just Hashgacha, you know. Right? Ki Kare, you know, Kan Tzipar, and the Ramban and Rambam's discussion, and Rambam and Mordechai, and the Ramban and in Parsha La Torah, you know, about, you know, Talmei Mitzvos and so on. Why am I telling you all this? So, when the Chinuch, you know, writes, you know, these interesting ideas, you know, I'm always tempted, you know, to maximize them. You know, it's the word of a Rishon, and it's always to be taken very seriously. And even if we want to reformulate a little bit, that's totally fine. But in the spirit of what he's written or inspired. And, you know, what we always have to just, like, weigh, you know, whether these are, you know, why reasons or what reasons. In other words, to what extent do they really integrate into the tochen? I'm not so interested in the moment about justifying Tamei Mitzvahs. I'm interested in the other part of it. In other words, can these explanations or justifications or descriptions, even better, you know, can they be used, you know, to illuminate, you know, the halachic, you know, posture that the Rishon is taking. My default assumption is that, you know, if it seems like yes, or if it makes sense, yes, then yes. But here and there, clearly not. I mean, around the Chinuch writes in the Akdama, you know, that, you know, he acknowledges that there's a range of different, you know, explanations, you know, that not every, you know, motif, you know, is being brought out in this book. He wrote it, you know, to keep his, you know, son out of, you know, trouble on a Shabbos afternoon. You know, yeah, I guess it was before they had youth groups, or I guess it depends who the leaders were of the youth groups. So, you know, he wanted to occupy his son and his friends. So maybe he was the youth leader, I don't know, not sure. So, you know, he basically says, you know, there's a range of types of nimukim. I'm not giving them all, you know, and there's a range. So we have to be a little bit careful. Having said that, it's still the thoughts of a Rishon, and therefore I tend to err on the side, you know, default, you know, of trying to see if they fit into the law. This, in this case, I think both broadly do. And therefore, you know, I'm trying to explain a little bit how you get a bitul aseh, what emerges from both, from the whole presentation of the Sefer Chinuch, as I say, is that gittin isn't just a technical din and mitzvah, but that the methodology, you know, definitely is intended, as well as the institution, you know, to reinforce kedusha in ishus and standards of kedusha after ishus in the community. And therefore, given that that is the case for kedushin and for gittin, the idea that, like, ignoring the methodology when the methodology captures that theme can be a bitul aseh, because you know, there is a kiyum, you know, part of this, given the reality, you know, that is kind of being given, you know, short shrift, and that's not acceptable. Yeah, so that's where we come from, basically. But yeah, I like your idea. I just don't think it's in the chinuch. Yeah.
In that spirit, how does Rebbe understand the? I was talking about this yesterday with one of the guys in the shir. How does Rebbe understand the onesh gadol me'od part that really seems to emphasize
the what gadol?
The onesh gadol me'od part, which really does seem to more explicitly emphasize the michshol part.
I'm not sure that it does. I also think that the chinuch himself tells you, you know, that he speaks about multiple things. So it's possible that I don't think that the bitul aseh is unrelated to the mitzvah part, and I think that makes sense as a kiyum too. Like, oh, you're trying to get divorced in a way, you know, that doesn't protect Klal Yisrael, right? That's an affront. That's fine. I just think that since he gave two reasons, you know, if you ask me, there's also an and he doesn't say, oh, it only applies to reason number one. So maybe it's like the chain you asked me about the other day. You know, in the not everything is equal. You know, so maybe he's saying there are two elements. Number one, there are two benefits from Gerushin Bederech, Ksiva. One is it protects the community in the future, and number two is that it, despite the fact that you're walking away from this Ishus, you're walking away from it in a way, that respects, the need to really dismantle it or matir it or create an alternative shape for it. You know, and these are not mutually exclusive ideas. So is it possible that the Onesh Chomer Meod, makes more sense regarding the Mishal, which I think what you're asking? And I think that was, somebody asked me that also the other day. I think that's true. Maybe it could be Akiva. Could be.
Yeah, I was
referring to Akiva's getting around. Okay.
Josh,
what?
I asked Josh.
You figure you didn't get satisfaction from me, you'd go to Josh.
The line of
and you have that kind of reputation.
No. One of the line of Onesh Eishas Ish Yadua, Yehumina Leosaka.
Oh, the Onesh Eishas Ish.
So what Rebbe's referring to, I don't think, is related to any Onesh Eishas Ish.
Right. No, so I'm saying I think that's true, but I think the Bitul Aseh still goes on the other part.
He does do that sometimes.
Yeah.
From my experience.
Thanks,
Josh.
No, he does. Relatedly. Thanks for your support.
I just wanted to know if it Rosenstein thought it was on the first part.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. So I think, I think there's a point. I think what you're saying is has a lot of merit. I just don't think it's exclusively that. I don't think it needs to be exclusively that. I think it makes sense. Either way, it's very, very interesting food for thought line. So getting back to, now I want to discuss the Rambam a little bit in light of that. So again, I even the way that I formulated it today was to try to make it more palatable. And by the way, it remains mechudash. I don't think the Rambam, for example, held that way. The Rambam in general is way more, economical, more sparing in applying a concept like Bitul Aseh than the Chinuch is. As I say, the Chinuch, is way more, likely, to extend that. But I think it's an interesting exercise, to pay attention to that. Yeah.
It's not Bitul Aseh.
Yeah, there are many kiyumim, you've ignored, if you do it, you're mekayim a mitzvah.
If you want a divorce, you don't divorce.
Nothing happens. I mean, but pashtus, if you divorce the wrong way, that's zero. I mean, that's a waste of time.
I
don't think the chinuch is the default, like it's like, oh, well, if this is a mitzvah, so doing it the wrong, and the mitzvah is in the way, it's a little bit goes to what Natan, right? We had Matan, but it said, which is like, oh, like if the mitzvah was to get divorced, because of the souring of the relationship, the improper behavior, whatever. So then, to say, but not only are you obligated to, but if you don't, that's an Iser Aseh, or maybe even a Bitul Aseh, is even stronger terminology. It makes a lot of sense. If the idea is this is the getting married this way, is that sounds like it's, a reason why there's a kiyum. It doesn't necessarily mean, that ignoring it, is a bitul. And I said, especially, by the way, if you want another example of the chinuch, I mentioned, tshuva, and my take a little bit on tshuva. So it's interesting that the Sefer Chinuch also says, but he says it only about Yom Kippur, which is interesting. Maybe we'll talk about it. The when the Chinuch formulates a mitzvah saseh of tshuva, so he says, and if you don't take the opportunity to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, then you're mevatel v'yaseh. Implication be, even though the mitzvah to do tshuva, presumably, is not limited to Yom Kippur. It's in response to Averos. The Rambam happens to have the formulation that there's a chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. But that aside. Anyway, so that's very interesting. Then that's a case where, according to the chinuch, the chiyuv ha-mitzvah and the kiyum ha-mitzvah, is more expansive than the bitul. But I totally understand that, and that is because, again, it's because the idea seems, if there's a special or additional element, or at least there's an higher expectation, you know, on Yom Kippur that you'll do tshuva, then, you know, not doing it is like, is, again, is like a certain kind of a statement about, you know, you know, your own perspective on the need for tshuva in your life, you know, or in general. But what I'm saying, typically, and, you know, typically if it's like the mitzvah is to do this properly, but it's not to do it, and then you do it improperly, or you don't do it properly, I should say, it's, I guess, the difference between saying, you know, are you not doing it properly? You're abstaining from doing it properly, or are you doing it improperly?
What I'm saying is...
So what makes it an doing it improperly? Why not just say you didn't do it properly? You understand what I'm saying? One is a absence of fulfilling, you know, the chiyuv, the mitzvah, the kiyum, you know, asay. You didn't blow shofar. It's not, typically you wouldn't say, is that a bitul asay or not? Again, so for the chinuch, the expectation sometimes, the urgency, will create, you know, a bitul when there's neglect. Where other Rishonim are much more hesitant to say that. They'll usually say, you know, you didn't take this opportunity. You know, you were mazniach. You squandered, you know, an opportunity. But if the methodology or you know, is also a statement, or, you know, if engaging in a more trivial kind of, you know, gerushin, or a different kind of a gerushin, you know, is perceived as like, you know, taking, you know, a pot shot, or, you know, being critical of, or being unappreciative of the institution, then that could really be a bit wrong.
So
yeah.
What's the
difference
between being the dinbalma and a mitzvah?
What's the difference between?
Points, is that it? Like, not like,
you're asking general.
Yeah.
Right, I'm saying many mitzvahs are kiyuvim, not kiyuvim, number one. But even when there's a chiyuv, so the chiyuv, a mitzvah, The you know, schar mitzvah, and schar aveira, in some cases, schar ikiyum mitzvah is, you know, it's the beginning of, you know, we're now in Kintetze, but in the beginning of Parsha Sre'e, so, you know, the psukim are a little funny, you know. So, you know, Re'e Anochi, you know, who's the Baal Kore here? You know, it's Es HaBracha and Es HaKlala, right? So the klala is formulated, you know, as you know, if you know, as a tnai, basically, and the es habracha is like this squandered opportunity, right? Who was the beginning of Re'eh? Go ahead. Who's the balkore of the shir? We usually have like several. No.
Abi Roth is the balkore.
Oh yeah, that's right. We knew that. Where's Avi? Okay, how does it go? Re'e Anochi, Nasein Lefnechem Hayom, Bracha Uklala. Right? I guess the Barim Shabbatzav, right? So Esa Bracha, Asher Tishmu El Mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem Asher Anochi Mitzvah Eschem Hayom V'Haklala Im Lo Sishmu, right? V'Sartem Min Aderech Asher Lo Yidatem. And then you get the consequences. So it's, you know, the Chazal already pointed this out. I mean, it's just clear. In the pshat and the psukim, it's strange. Like, the klala is, like, if you violate, then you get, you know, punished. And the esa bracha is simply asher tishmu, right? It says to be im tishmu, you'll get a reward, right? So I always like to interpret that this is, you know, in response to your query, that this is what the Torah is telling us, namely the opportunity, you know, to have a relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom, to do, you know, mitzvos, is itself a bracha. So, you know, that's the bracha, asher, you know, tishmeru. If you don't do it, you know, so let's say you don't get a punishment, right? But you've lost out because, you know, doing it itself is an act that gives meaning to your life, that deepens your connection to the Rabbanu Shalom, etc. Now, of course, there are different types of mitzvah saseh, for sure. I mean, there are mitzvah saseh that are like tzitzis, you know, that are kiyubim, even b'li kiyubim, You know, they're only when the opportunity, you know, arises. Most mitzvahs, I say, are chiyuvim, right? And then there are some which are not only chiyuvim and chiyuvim, but as I say, but where there's also a bittul, it's all or nothing. If you're not doing them, then you're doing the opposite, and you're stomping on them. But that third category, I'm saying, how rare is the third category? We're neglecting an asay or doing it improperly, you know, is not just the absence of doing it or the abstention of doing it or doing it properly, but that it constitutes a more kumbase, you know, rejection. For the chinuch, as a category, you know, you have to check it out, the fact, whether I'm right or not. The chinuch is very into this. It doesn't apply in all cases.
That's kind of what I'm saying. I was under the impression that a kid, this is pretty rare. I was under the impression
Kiyum and B'li Chiyuvim is rare.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not talking about Kiyum and B'li Chiyuvim. Im Yirtza, if you want to get divorced, then, you know, and you're going to undertake this process, then you should do it this way. But if you don't do it this way, so it's not going to work, that doesn't necessarily mean you've been the Vatel of it, as I say.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I was under the impression that a Chiyuv, it's something that's a Kiyuv.
Well, I would say the more we're... So again, it depends why it's mechuyev. That's what it's going to depend on. So what I'm saying is the more that it's mechuyev because, even as a derech, you know, if it's mechuyev and it's a mitzvah kumbase, so then it's, you know, it could be a bittul in a situation where, again, the urgency and expectation is great and the neglect isn't viewed as an abstention but is viewed as a rejection. Or you need it so much, right? It's a mitzvah say, but you need it so much that its absence, you know, is a state. Then you'll get a bit. But there can be many situations where you squandered an opportunity, right? But this is, you know, part of the discussion of korban ola, in a way, you know, because an ola is meratze, you know, on mitzvah say. And that's part of the discussion that we find. Like, what does that mean? A mitzvah say, you know, the Rishonim discusses, you know, a mitzvah say is an opportunity. You know, so if you don't do a mitzvah say, you bring an ola. So you have to, again, if you took like a view, like your view, which is that most mitzvah say are, you know, their neglect constitutes a kind of a bittul, especially if they are, you know, engendered by a chiyuv, then it's much easier to explain why you need a korban ola, right? The alternative, and you find different formulations in Rishonim, is to say that, you know, the ritsui of an ola is not the same as the kapara, you know, of a katas. Not just technically, not just quantitatively, but, you know, in general. Yeah, that's what the ola isn't really about, you know, bitol asay. It's not a kapara. It's, you know, it's trying to, you know, justify how you had this opportunity, you know, and you neglected, the way I put it. It's ritsui agavra. It's not really the specific thing. There are a lot of questionable, you know, decisions that people make in their lives, which, you know, raises, you know, some issue about, you know, their priorities as Ovdei Hashem. You know, and korban ola is about that ritzui. It's about that, you know, relation. Some people learning the beginning of zvachim, right? In addition to the beginning of menachos. So that's, you know, again, the beginning, the sugya, the beginning of menachos, of zvachim. What?
Or chulin.
Correct.
You have a certain derech halim, but you might end up there.
That's true. But if you look on dav vav and dav zayin and zvachim, that's, you know, part of the discussion. So that's exactly the point. Now, there can be a chiyuv, you know, and there can be the ability of chachamim. I'm sorry we're getting off on this tangent, but I guess it's an important, broader issue. So the ability of the chachamim to sometimes say, you know, shev al tasa, you know, also needs to be assessed. Now, I mentioned ola, I mentioned the bitul asay, but this also, the ability of the chachamim, right, to tell you to stay home or, you know, to leave your shofar at home and not to blow it on Shabbos, even though daraisa, you should, you know, is clear in the Gemara. That's like zayrush. I've never heard of that. Or things like it, but assessing it, you know, is connected to this as well. Because the more you look at, or yesh koch b'yad chachamim, you know, laka or davar min haTorah, you know, b'shev al tasa, you know, also is an example of this. And this is a big discussion among implicit rishonim and explicit achronim. When you abstain from doing something, is that a form of not doing it or being mevatel it, which requires much more justification or implies much more koach chachamim, you know, etc. Up to the point that, you know, some of the mefarshim say, why isn't this, they can at least ask the question, you know, why isn't this, you know, lo sigra? You know, the opposite of lo sosi. Like, you know, you're telling me, what is it? Or the alternative, no, it's not lo sigra, and it's not koach hakamim to be over on the Torah. That's the other view, yesh koach hakamim lak, or even, you know, kumvase, like a lab. But no, it's basically the chachamim saying, you know, just sit home. You know, don't do the positive. You're not violating anything, and you're not detracting anything. You're abstaining from doing it. Or are you being mevatel? That's the question. So all these issues, the status of Ola, the status of Yesh Koch B'Yad Chachamim, the status of, you know, Takanos and Lo Sigra, you know, and whether we call something a bitul asay or not, they're all related to this same question. It's a very, very fine line. It's a very nuanced question. You know, when you are obligated to do something and you neglect to do so, you know, whether we consider that you are negating it or we just consider that you are, you know, squandering, you know, an opportunity.
Where's the Rambam?
I'm saying the Rambam doesn't have bitul asay in the same frequency that the Chinuch does. Either way, I think you always need to explain, you know, and I've given some of the models, you know, where you'll get a bitul asay as opposed to simply, you know, you've squandered the opportunity. Or maybe there's an Isur asay in some cases, also a category. You know, the expectation, are you making a statement? But especially in methodological-oriented mitzvahs like Gerushin, you know, you would have thought that, you know, you're not doing it improperly, you're just not doing it because the only way to do it is this other way. But when you do it, or when you're taking this path, doing it the right way is a mitzvah or is a chiyuv. That's the pashas. Okay. excuse me. Having said that, so again, part of the formulation that I've tried to convey is, like, you know, to make it a little more palatable. But even if you don't go with the chinuch and say it's a bitul asay, this is nonetheless obviously an objectively important question to consider, and that is the question of benoach. What I was saying was, a way to formulate the chinuch is not just you're doing this not properly or improperly, but, you know, you're trying to get out of a Jewish marriage, meaning a marriage of which has a certain standard of Kedusha, which includes certain components, you're trying to do that not only in a trivial way, but in a benoach way, a way that is recognized, let's say, if that's the case. Is that the case or not? That would, like, help a little bit. Like, that's a statement. You know, that's a declaration. That's, a disrespectful, implicit, perspective on gayership. Right. So, either way, analyzing the methodology, my whole contention in general was that, you know, when mitzvos are formulated in terms of the method, it doesn't always have to be contrasted to benoach, but obviously that's a very more than 50%, likelihood. But what there does need to be always, you know, is an alternative. You're doing it this way as opposed to that way, and somehow, if this whole perspective is correct, I believe in it, then choosing method A as opposed to alternative, B, is basically casting your lot, with a whole different, perspective to whatever this davar should be kedusha or whatever it is. So that's what I mean by shechita. That's what I mean about tshuva. Let's say in tshuva, since it's elul, so we can expand a little more. Meaning, you know, maybe for the requirement of vidui for the Rambam in tshuva, you know, maybe the people of Nineveh didn't necessarily need that. You know, because for them tshuva was simply, you know, shuvu midarkechem, you know, hara. And for, you know, for Klal Yisrael, that's not enough. Maybe that's just a function of being, you know, to use a phrase of the Ramban's in his drasha of the Rosh Hashanah, I believe, you know, you can't, not about this, but you can't be omeid b'mirdo. In other words, if you're in a state of rebellion against the king, so, you know, the obligation to do something to, you know, to neutralize that, to rectify that, you know, it doesn't have to be a separate mitzvah. You know, that's not, that's like very elemental. You know, you just got to square your, you know, relationship. You can't live in a state of merit. Right. What the Rambam, you know, is saying, probably I'm understanding it, is that, you know, tshuva isn't just about neutralizing sin. That's obvious. It's, you know, kishe yashuv hachote mecheto, that's a given. You do that not because of the mitzvah necessarily. I'm saying a little more than you would have to say in the Rambam, but I believe this is what he means in these words, at least in that part of the formulation. He formulates it a little bit differently in the Koteret and Sefer Mitzvos and in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. But when he has that formulation, you know, what he's saying is, of course you have to do tshuva, that's elemental. The chet and the mered and the distance that it creates, that requires you to do tshuva. But the idea that tshuva is also like an opportunity, you know, and that you have to, you know, go well beyond saying I'm sorry and squaring your relationship, but you have to, you know, deepen, you know, that relationship. You have to kind of capitalize, you know, on the distance, you know, in order to transform your whole perspective, not just deal narrowly, you know, with your particular infraction and transgression. You know, the tshuva sagavra with more than the tshuva samaisa, and going beyond it, you know, that's the chiddush of, you know, Kedushas Yisrael's tshuva. But, you know, for a non-Jew, you know, again, there are statements in Chazal that, you know, Jews are obligated to tshuva, not non-Jews, and then a lot of the Mefarshim, you know, are troubled by that, and the whole story, of course, of Nineveh and, you know, Yonah and so on, it's all about non-Jews, so obviously they're some kind of tshuva, shuvu midarkechem hara. But the idea may be that's exactly the difference. There's a, like a more minimal, you know, neutralizing, you know, being omeid b'mered type of tshuva. That doesn't necessarily require busha, it doesn't necessarily require aziva sachet, or kabbalah lahaba, you know, or being mortified, you know, and so on, and you know, even you know, nichum ala avar. So, all these elements, you know, are what give, you know, greater aspiration to tshuva. You know, and it's a whole different, you know, perspective. You know, basically, so the derech hatshuva, you know, becomes the mitzvah. So let's say a person, you know. You know, proclaims that, you know, the only tshuva that he believes in is, you know, the one that was undertaken, you know, in Nineveh. So that's a problem, right? The alternative in all cases, or talking about shkita, so, you know, there are other ways, you know, to not to, even if you want to avoid, you know, basar menachai, you know, there are other ways. Obviously, you don't have to necessarily be using, you know, the first of the four avodos, you know, of kachim kasher tzivisicha, right? So, but then you're making a statement about, you know, kedusha in achila, you know, and whether you know are embracing that or whether you are, you know, rejecting it or ignoring it. Oh. So the status of Benoach, obviously. Objective alternatives, you know, can serve this function, but, you know, it's particularly, you know, powerful and therefore compelling, you know, if Also, the halacha itself recognizes this alternative as something that is valid, you know, for a group, and also not just any group, but is valid for, you know, a noble group of human beings, you know, have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, but it's still, you know, a huge Rubicon, you know, between that group and Kedushas Yisrael. You know, so understanding what, you know, goes on with Bnei Noach, whenever we have said this many, many times, you know, where you have overlap between Shebetz Bnei Noach, I have to drink. I'll get that thing back from my office. Understanding what, you know, what the halacha itself validates and recognizes in terms of Bnei Noach can be really invaluable. You know, whether it's in Dinim, or it's in Eivor Min HaChai, or in terms of, you know, a tshuva, or ishus. Dafka, my view, I think it's obvious. Dafka, where there's overlap, and where there's a recognition, you know, and where you have to work a little bit to understand the subtleties of the difference, you know, dafka there, can you really highlight, you know, what Kedushas Yisrael is really all about? Because we don't think the alternative is meaningless or insignificant. We think it's noble and, you know, very acceptable on a certain level. So that added nofach, or that, you know, ends up being like, you know, a window into what is, you know, singular about Kedushas Yisrael. Oh, so having said that, either way, we would want to know what Bnei Noach do. So what do Bnei Noach do in Kiddush, in Kiddushin, or in Ishus? what do they do in Ishus, Akiva?
So
exactly. So, and again, that, you know, going back to what I was saying a couple of times already, and that's like, it's a strange way, you know, for the Rambam. Rambam doesn't typically, you know, he's not writing, you know, comparative law, and he's certainly not writing history. But it's not the only time either in Yad HaChazaka that we have comparative law or history. So, you know, how, when you have it, you need to explain it. And a very good explanation always is, you know, underscoring exactly this point, you know, the contrast. Sometimes it's a contrast that is, you know, kind of absolute, like, this is what they do, we don't do that, or this is what we used to do, we don't do that anymore. And sometimes it's a little more subtle, and that is, like, you know, the goal, you know, or an aspect of it, you know, what we used to do, or what, you know, Bnei Noach do is still important. We have a different way, you know, of going about it, and that different way, you know, also catapults it and transforms it. So that's why I, you know, kind of add to what the Rav used to say in the name of his father, that, you know, the beginning of Hilchos Ishus is really important because of the contrast, and also because of the, you know, overlap, meaning the chuppah, if you call it, or the maisabiyah, that just going directly to the, you know, intimate relationship, to the mefurash bakra that we have, you know, without, you know, without any kind of two-stage process of Erusin and Nisuin, especially for the Rambam, the Oser, you know, that is, paves the way and transforms the Matir, the requirement of Eidei Kiyum, which is part of it in his presentation. That's one of the, you know, that's the other thing, you know, that he accentuates in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph and Beis. And so what he's saying is, yeah, we too want, you know, the intimacy of marriage, but, you know, only, you know, when this protocol, you know, is followed, because that, you know, that kind of gives it a completely different, you know, significance. So that is the Rambam Shita about background you know, Benoach, and I think it's really, you know, crucial. And that just makes the words, you know, whether it's the Koteret, you know, or the beginning of the Perek Aleph, etc., just, you know, it just, you know, makes you appreciate the formulations, you know, all the more, and the Shitos of the Rambam, you know, as well. In Hilchos Malachim, you know, based on Yerushalmi in the beginning of Kiddushin, you know, this part is reinforced. You have it there at Kiva, Perek, what is it, Perek Tes, Halacha, I don't know why my Frankel and my thing was missing, so I have this other one. Perek Tes, Halacha, Zion, correct?
Zion, he starts with
okay, that's already an important idea, but that's okay. Go ahead. Meaning, if she is meurasa or nichnas of the chuppah v'lo nivala, she's not considered an eishes ish vis-a-vis any kind of znus. Okay, meaning her definition as ishto shel ha-baal ha-rishon ha-benoach requires ma'isavim. Okay, continue. Shenemar. Abasno. Yeah. We have Benoach? Oh, I have Basno. I have the old Rambam.
What do you mean?
It doesn't matter. You know, you wouldn't make sense. Yeah.
Basno.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to. Right. We live in, you know, in hard, in strange times. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, meaning if an akum, you know, is interfering with the marriage of a Yisraelis, so which standards, you know, apply, his or hers? Right. That's, of course, a very interesting Benoach issue. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Good. So, anyways, what emerges from this is very clear, and that is, you know, exactly what the Rambam said in Perek Aleph about, you know, Kodesh Matan Torah, and that is that Ishus for a Ben Noach, you know, which is something that we recognize, remember. In other words, if a Ben Noach violates, you know, his fellow Ben Noach's, you know, marriage, you know, that's actionable, right? Meaning we care about that, you know, we care about the marriages of Ben Noach, very much so. So there being a legal definition is important, but the legal definition is Maisabiyah, it's the intimate relationship, it's, you know, Pogea, you know, Isha Adam Pogea Isha Bishuk, Ratzahu Ratztahi, you know, and it's the Maisa Bia itself. Sharp contrast. So what about Gittin? So when it comes to Gittin, the Yerushalmi is a little bit more complicated. Correct? Akiva, you have that Yerushalmi, or it's up there? One second. Very interesting Yerushalmi. The question is, what does it all mean? So, this is the Yerushalmi. Hold on one second. In the beginning of Kiddushin, correct? You have it? Do you have it there, or have it up there? Hold on one second. See if I can find it. Okay, you can start. Yeah, what does the Yerushalmi say? Yeah, so Goyim Eilan Kiddushin, what does that mean, Eilan Kiddushin? That's what we just said. I mean, they don't have Eirusin. You know, Kodem Lenesuin, and they don't have. Now the question, but it's also just a very interesting, you know, formulation, right? Again, it's natural, you know, to try to understand the relationship between, you know, the Gerushin and the Nesuin within Bnei Noach, just like Biatzav Haisa, you know, for Israel. Like, it's reasonable that if their Kiddushin is different, or if their Ishus is different, I should say, that their Gerushin would be different, you know. So Maushi Yehela and Gerushin. So here, you know, kind of again, the thoughts that go running through our head are, you know, are they going to be parallel and how is that going to express itself? Or maybe they won't be. You know. But maybe they won't be, you know, could be in two directions. You know, maybe, you know, we'll be more machmir in our requirements for Gerushin, even of a Ben Noach, you know, than, you know, maybe it'll be closer to Israel, or maybe it'll be, you know, even more distant, you know. So that would be curious, just like we were talking about, you know, the smack and the smag and the, you know, and the bahag and the, you know, and so on and so forth, right? Whether the nature of the mitzvah, you know, for Yisrael is different. So what about the nature of the, you know, roughly speaking, the kind of standards, you know, how's that going to shake out? Okay. So Rav Yehuda ben Pazi, Rav Chanin, Yishun, go ahead. Wow. So either Ein Lahem Gerushin, right? What does that mean?
Right. It's the two aspects of the Isser, the Erison.
Wait, so there Ein Lahem Gerushin means there are two, if you look at the Mefarshim, right, I think some they have different explanations here. Ein Lahem Gerushin means what? They don't have any get at all. Right? That's how I was looking for mine, because I think I underscored he says what in the Farshim. Oh, here it is. What does Ein Lahem Gerushin mean? The Pashtun means they don't have a get at all. It's like the Chinuch was writing, you know, but he didn't mean it about the Bnei Noach, necessarily. Meaning it's still death do them part, you know, not only as a intent, but as a, like, you know, Catholicism. You can't get out of a marriage. Right? Or, if you look at the, which one is it? At the Shiare Karban, whatever it is. What does he say? Osh Eilem Gerushin Biksav Elabamir Bialma. Right, is the point that there's no get? I mean, Gerushin means is so associated, you know, with the Hefza Shel Shtar. We're saying there's no Shtar, there's no get. But of course, there's Gerushin, Vamira. So there's verbal Gerushin. According to this view, right, the two Deos in the Gemara is there's verbal get. Or what? Osheshnei Megarshin Zeh. In the first view is it's still only for the Baal, but it's verbal. And the second view is, you know, that either the husband or the wife can initiate or can end the marriage, can initiate Gerushin or end the marriage. Okay. But that's not the simple reading of the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi is more like the Pnei Moshe. And that is that Ein Lahem Gerushin is Eilan Gerushin Klal Dinismatu Meamikra Dilakame, right? O Shalonismatu Elishin Betoras Gerushin Yisrael Sheish Megarish Es Ishto. Is it that it's a different Gerushin or there's no Gerushin? And that's pretty radical. One is a difference in methodology, and the other is a huge difference. You know, how ironic would it be that the less Kedusha oriented, you know, marriage is the one without, you know, the exit strategy. In order to ensure, or maybe because we have less, it's hard to understand, but okay. Then what does Yerushalmi go on to say? Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, but it's also, yeah, go ahead. Wow. What do you think about that? I mean, I said wow already, so I gave it away that at least I'm impressed with it. Are you impressed with it or not?
Yeah. Yeah, like the
Pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk in Yeshaya, they're all beautiful. Well, what stands out about this one? First of all, there's a debate. If you look at the Mefarshei Yerushalmi, we're not going to do this because we want to move on. Like, you know, is it, does the Pasuk that's quoted impact the argument? Whether there's no get or whether there is, you know, a different kind of standard of getin? Or is it just Mashmo's Dorshin Ikim Benayim? Okay, that's an interesting argument. But what strikes me, Pasuk and Yeshaya too, but what, you know, just the phrase or the nature of the limud, right? Kol ha'parshek tziv Hashem tzivakos, the kantziv elokei Yisrael, l'lamedcha, shelo yichet ha'karsh baruch hu shemo v'geirishin, ela b'Yisrael bilvad. What do you think?
It's like a type of kiddushin in the way that the psukim are written. Like, Hashem's saying these psukim are unique to the B'nai Yisrael.
Yeah, but I especially think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe I'm making too much of it, but the idea that the Rabbanu Shalom is miyached shmo begerushin, you know, li Yisrael. The idea of the Rabbanu Shalom being miyached shmo begerushin itself is a fascinating ha'ara. You know, gerushin is a terrible, you know, it's a tragedy. You know, so what this I think underscores miyached HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmo. You know, Begeirushin, but only for Yisrael. To me, it's very suggestive of what? Shai, what would you say? Only if you agree, I don't want to...
Begeirushin highlights Kedushas Yisrael.
Exactly. The idea that the Rabbanu Shalom is Miyached Shemo on Geirushin, you know, and Dafka Yisrael Bilvad, you know, is strange, you know. Although, it's a great Ha'ara just in the Pesukim. You know, forget about the Limud, right? So what we're really saying is, you know, and this of course makes total sense, like, you know, there's a get, like I said before, it's ironic, like, you know, gets a Yisrael thing and not a non-Jew thing. You know, sadly, like, the rate of divorce everywhere is, you know, is skyrocketing. I think it's still lower in the Jewish community than it is. It certainly was a generation ago, much lower in the Jewish community than, you know, than in the non-Jewish community. You know, unfortunately, again, that gap, first of all, there's so much intermarriage, but also, you know, we're living in different times, and, you know, in these issues, not better times. So, you know, the fact that there's like a bridging of those statistics is a truth, a sad truth. But anyways, the Rabbanu Shalom's Miyached Shemo B'Geirushin, and he's, you know, it might even be that the non-Jews don't have Geirushin and Yisrael does. But if we take the position, which we've been trying to, that, you know, this is a din in Kedushas Yisrael, as unlikely as it initially seems, superficially seems, this is an investment in standards, it's an investment in Kedusha. And so on. And especially that the, you know, not only the existence of Gittin, you know, overriding what might have seemed more ideal, but, you know, securing the idealism maybe in a more profound way, right, as well as, like, the methodology, if that's what we're talking about, that the methodology, it's easier to say that part, the ksiva as opposed to simply the amira, even the, you know, need for the initiation of the Baal as opposed to, you know, either one of them terminating the Ishus, certainly seems fairer, certainly seems more liberal. It will also increase, you know, the frequency of Gittin. But maybe the idea really here is that, you know, get itself, you know, and or, you know, the method of shtar in get, you know, for reasons discussed by the Chinuch and others, the two others that we added. And even, you know, the initiation or the fact that this is, you know, the prerogative of the Baal, you know, that too, all these are reflections of Kedushas Yisrael. The Baal is Mekadesh, right? So if you need to be matir the Ishus, you know, ki yikach ish isha, then it has to come from him, you know, as well. The more it's, you know, it's intricate, you know, and the requirements are, I wouldn't say, you know, idiosyncratic, but they are complex. All of that, you know, may be part of like Benasa Biyada, you know, Sefer Krisus, you know, Bishil Chamibay, all the things that we talked about in terms of the Psukim, you know, the real nitty gritty details, including the fact that it's Mitzana Baal, which can create problems, as we know, which is why, you know, Chayyur Rabbeinu Gershom, you know, we no longer do Gershom Bal Karcha, but it comes from, you know, addressing Kedushas Ishus. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there is a concept of Ishus, and what's actually generating more Kedusha as a condition of a God? I mean, even so, she's still has her Kodamakadish
after I didn't follow the question. Say it a little louder and a little.
What's more Kodosh about marriage if you look at the way that it's generating?
Right.
Both a Jew and a non Jew.
Oh, you're saying if either way there's an Isereshus Ish?
Right.
Because that's a minimum, meaning the Torah thinks that any kind of marriage, you know, in the end, no matter how it's, you know, how casually, you know, created or how casually, you know, deconstructed, you know, should have a minimum standard, and that minimum standard is Begida, betrayal. Okay? That it's kind of what I was saying before a little bit. I mean, I'll turn your question a little bit on its head. Meaning, it's, you know, what we're saying is afalpi, that there's a huge gap between the, you know, the kedusha of Klal Yisrael and Ben Noach, you know, the very fact that, you know, Ishus, you know, and the sanctity of marriage is something that, you know, the halacha believes in, even for Bnei Noach, you know, is important and reflects like a certain minimal level of kedusha, which includes, you know, the prohibition of betrayal. That's all we really mean by that. But the idea that, you know, the sanctification of the physical intimacy part of marriage itself, let's say, you know, is something that needs to be addressed, you know, namely kedushin prior to nisuin, the need to, like, formalize and you know, a lot of the, you know, Baal ki ishto, ishto ke baala dinim, you know, that are a result of the two phases and the eikiyum and the yitziras achalos. I mean, it has its penalty sides, you know, that is a reflection of the kedusha, and it also has its, you know, positive expressions, you know, too. You know, whether in Hilchaseidus or, you know, Yerusha or things like that. So what I would say, it's a great question, it's a very legitimate question, but what I would say is no, it's a, of course, there's a modicum, or more than a modicum, of standards, you know, in the Ishus of Bnei Noach, because, you know, we care about Bnei Noach, we think that their, you know, standards are, they too can be Ovdei Hashem, and live a, you know, a constructive and a spiritual life, you know, and therefore there are going to be, you know, elements that, you know, of Kedusha in there. Called Kedusha, whatever, oh, there are going to be standards to their marriages. But you still can't compare, not in the structure. It's not only, you know, the methodology of creating it or leaving it. It's in the whole network, you know, of dinim, you know, that apply in the context of a marriage. And all of that doesn't, you know, is mostly doesn't apply to a Ben Noach. It's much more flexible. Flexible makes it easier, but flexible makes it less spiritually aspirational. Yeah.
Rabbi, I thought I would just point out that the Korban Eda has the Girsa of Viter Shmo.
What does he have?
He said instead of Yichid Shmo, he has Viter Shmo. So Hashem, like, forgives Bnei Israel
for their Girsa.
It's like he avoids the whole Chiddush.
Oh, wow.
For his Girsa, like, it would be problematic to say Yichid Shmo. So he has Viter Shmo.
That only highlights further
right.
How the Yichid Shmo is. That's great. I didn't know that. So he has the girsa in the Yerushalmi of Vitar, or he changes it? He actually has a girsa?
In his Divrei Hamasla, it says Vitar, at least in whatever.
Okay, interesting. I did not know that. But that's a great har. Okay, the continuation of the Yerushalmi is equally... Shalom, you want to say something? You're looking out for Yehuda. We'll make you like the Gabbai of... Yeah. See, you can imagine what a marriage is supposed to be. It's just a couple of... Lo Yachul Shemo.
Yeah.
I think that's like...
I mean,
I don't think that's... I think Yachul Shemo is like Yiched Shemo. More.
Right, closer.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but that... Okay, great. That's... thank you. So anyway, but then the next line of the Yerushalmi is just astonishing. Okay, where are we? Who's reading the Yerushalmi? Akiba. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Wait, 1 second. Yeah, okay, Garm Elan Gershon, which, I, as we discussed, can be one of the things. But what's his Raya? Go ahead. Ben Goy, Shagira Shasishto. Ooh, a lot of things going on, right? What happened here?
So a woman got divorced, Bas Noach got divorced, and she married someone else, and then they both converted.
Yeah. Meaning the first two.
Right.
The two from the first marriage converted.
Right.
Wow. I guess you can't say that they converted, you know, because they, you know, for marriage reasons. Okay, whatever. Go ahead. Ain't any Kori Allah. Okay, we'll leave that. So, what does that mean? The raya that there's no get for Ben Noah. First of all, how do you read this according to the whatever it is, Korban Eidah or whatever? Because you think it just means that there's no shtar, right? At least that's what it initially did. Well, let's assume kipshuto. So there's no get. Why is there no... There's no get for a ben Noach, the pashtus, that's the meaning of Yerushalmi. And the raya is, because if there was a get, then there would have been a problem of matzah grushaso, right, after, you know, the giyur. Akiva, what do you think? Is that a problem with that line?
It's great. I think it highlights the formality, like the importance of the formality of the get, that
number one, it's the get biksav apparently which accomplishes this. But even more, it's a strange correct. We'll get that in a second. That's really what I want to get out of it. Shalom. Correct. What happened to Gershon Isgayer Kukatan Shanola Dami? Meaning, what is he talking about? They underwent a gerus. So let's assume that there is a full and equal, you know, gerushin, you know, Reuven, not Reuven. You know, Bob and you know, Samantha, I don't know, were married, right? It's like Robert? Yeah. It's going to be so informal, but, you know. So Robert and Samantha were married, right? They got, you know, divorced. You know, they married, or she married, you know, Richard, right? Dick, Richard, I don't know, and then, you know, they got divorced. Then the two of them, Robert and Samantha, you know, Miss Geyer, and he became Reuven, and she became, you know, Sarah. Okay, so Reuven and Sarah don't have a Machzor Grushaso problem, and that proves that there's no Gerushin for a Ben Noach. What happened to Gersha and his guy? Or he caught the Chanola dummy. Right? So that, I think that's just shocking. Either way, it's shocking. If you say, you know, that there is a get, but it's not, you know, Biksav. Correct? In the Pneumosha way. So what's the answer? Shalom has an answer.
I think
there is an answer.
It has to be. I think there could be the implication that Asa Rishasa thing that transcends even that.
Or would have.
So it would have. Maybe it's
right.
So
I think this is a very...
something so strong. That's what Asa Rishasa is. But since it isn't here, it's not transcending.
Say so. What and what? Why should certain things transcend? Do certain things transcend? Justin, right? Otherwise known as Chida HaChadash, right?
Yeah. We're in Yerushalmi right now. Should be noted.
Yeah, yeah. The Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rishon Fisher and Beis Yishai asked a question on the Meshech Chachma.
Say that again.
Rishon Fisher and a Sefer Beis Yishai on the Haros asked a question on the proof of the Meshech Chachma. For the whole concept of Yerushan Iskara, Kikotan Shinola Dami. And he says, why are they crying at their tents if his whole raya is...
You mean in Matan Torah?
Yeah. The Meshach Chachma's proof is that post Matan Torah, they went, it says, go back to your tents.
Right. I mean, that's the guy.
But Rosalma Fisher asks, then why were they crying when they were told about Issa Raias? Perhaps when it comes to Raias, it's not so pasha that you're really able... to remarry everyone.
We do say that a Geirus that Arias.
When we don't necessarily roll it over to the realm of Arias.
Why?
Because they were still crying when they were told it.
I mean, you're proving this backwards. No, I understand. There, it might be a different issue. First of all, that's very interesting. Thank you. Very Chida-esque, to bring that wide thing up. But not surprised. But what I would say is, this is just throw it out. But the question whether Klal Yisrael were typical, Geirim, about which you say Gershon Iskari Kekatan Shenola Dami, is a little bit of a tricky issue, because this is a very popular discussion among the Achronim. But not like present Achronim so much, 18th century Achronim, kind of, 19th century Achronim. It could just be that the nature of the Geirus of Klal Yisrael was that they all, they all passed over the Rubicon together. The image, they're all holding hands, except it's a little bit too, sentimental. But they all walked over, into Kedushas Yisrael together. And that in itself may determine, that when it comes to Isarayas, etc., that you won't say, Kikotan Shinola Dami. But having said that, I think there is a bigger idea. I mean, this idea is sensible too. We do find, other things where you don't say Kikotan Shinola Dami. So, what is the pattern? So, for example, onshin, let's say a Ben Noach is chayiv misa because he violated Nisar Ben Noach. You can't just, be misguided, and say, oh, I'm no longer Robert, I'm now Reuven. Correct? The Gemara has a discussion, what about period of Rivia? Right? Let's say you had your father and a child when you were, when you were a nun, when you were Ben Noach. Does that work for, period of Rivia now? I mean, that was, Robert. That wasn't Reuven. Right, and so a bunch of other cases, like Yerusha and Bechor. The Gemara says, Bechor the Ben Noach. Otherwise, it sounds like, maybe we would, connect previous. So what's the Yisod? The Yisod. Do you want to say what the Yisod is?
Yeah, is it the things that are part of the Ben Noach?
So things that are universal, basically. There is an aspect of this, of course, a big, very big issue. Yeah, I'm so late. I didn't realize. So much time in certain things, but we'll try to speed it up on Sunday. But there are certain things that are about universal, Hayom Haras Olam, and V'chein Tein Pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu Al Kol Maasecha, the particularism of Yahadus is very powerful, and it's more dominant in some cases. More acute anyway than the universalism, but the universalism part is obviously crucial as well. So when the Gemara has exceptions, the Gemara has in the beginning of Ksuvos, the Rishonim Dav Gimel and Beis there, speak about a very similar issue, the Iser Labal and Laboel, famous Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, and the some of you learned Ksuvos last year, right? And the ones were in Shalvin. So you know where Abai speak, hopefully, and the Ritva on Daf Gimel Amud Beis in Ksuvos really deals with this question. How could there have been an Iser? You know, that's the discussion Beinu Tam has. Let's say you have a non-Jew, a Ben Noach, or a non-Jew, whatever it is, and he was the Boel, and then he was Mizgayer. So would there be an Iser Labal Labal? So Beinu Tam discusses it in terms of, like, Bias Akum could Bias Behema. So some of the, other Rishonim say, like, forget about all that. Just say Gershon Mizgayer, V'katan Shadol Adam Yehi. You know, it's an Iser Labal and Iser Laboel, but it's not the Boel that was... You know, that was Robert, this is Reuven, right? That was Bartholomew, this is Baruch. So, the answer is, there is an Iser, Eish Asish, to violate Eish Asish for a Ben Noach, right? And therefore, some things are like a cross. There's sometimes when the universal aspect, of being a Ben Noach, being a human being who has certain, also minimal Kedusha obligations, kicks in. So in those issues, it's very hard to figure out what yes and what not. But these examples or these discussions, I think, are all about that. So there is this, continuity. There's continuity. He's not completely cut off from his previous life. And that's the question. What about... Now the question is, what about Get? Does he have a past history in Get? So what I would say is... Oh, Baruch, you want to say?
Just in terms of other options here, Pei Moshe seems to be more problematic in that sense.
Say again?
Pei Moshe here seems to then be more problematic in that sense.
Because of the Get, because of the...
There's no Gershon Bechlal, then there seems to be a sort of a sort of Boel.
Right? No, I figured out, these are Baal Boel is...
No, but meaning...
I'm just using that as an example... You mean if there's no gittin at all, you're saying it's even worse? No, but they're trying to prove. Remember, the Ushami's trying to prove that there's no get. Had there been a get, there would be mas. Oh, you're saying, and if there's no get, it's even worse. Yeah, okay, great. That's very nice, Sahara. Very good. But what I'm trying to answer is going to solve that, too. So basically what I'm trying to say is, what the Ushami is really trying to figure out is... how different, and what is the significance, of the difference between Ben Noach and Yisrael? Meaning, the more, despite the technical differences, we're dealing with kind of a generally the same idea, right? The more, you don't have Kekata Chanola Dami, because it's like a universe, it's like, you're a human being. And as a human being, you have certain... obligations, and you can't cut your human being past, from, your Jewish, future, because this isn't a Jewish thing, it's an overlapping thing. So to the extent that there is continuity, or that there is comparison, between, the requirements of the past and of the present, just that they're more broad, but Bechlal Masayim Mana, right, you're not going to get out of the, the issues of the past through Geirus. Right, you're not going to say Kekatan Shanola. But if what seems to be common institutions and therefore a universal, perspective, is misleading, and really, really, really. We're talking about apples and oranges, then that's not true at all. So that's number one. That's to solve the, Kekata Chinola dummy, problem. But more than that, let's get back to Baruch's Ha'ara and more generally, the point may be, as follows. Machsa Grushaso, as we've discussed it, I don't think it's completely separate from this issue, is what? Machsu Grushaso is about, it's a technicality? Or it's a way, and this is, we still have to get back to it, the different views, it's a way of protecting, the institution of Get. So that Get isn't, a source, for musical, you know, ishus, but on the contrary, you know, it's not only even just a, you know, sad b'di'eved, right? It's really a mechanism, you know, that ultimately is supposed to promote, you know, kedushas ishus. So maybe what the what we're being told is, you know, that the whole, I think, having said that, so one could have said that the whole institution of Machzor Grushaso, you know, just by definition doesn't apply to a Ben Noach. Or you could say, you know, that depends on how you perceive the standard of Gerushin that the Ben Noach himself has. Right. So, you know, getting back to Baruch's point, for example, let's say you say that there's no Gerushin whatsoever, so in some respect, you know, the fact that this there is a kind of Yisur L'Baal L'Boel kind of an idea, you're saying, but that's true. But on the other hand, the extent that there's Machzor Grushaso, if we think that there's no get, you know, because we don't really care as much, we don't see get in that, you know, context, you know, as promoting or securing, you know, kedusha in the marriage, we just see it as an accounting, you know, mechanism. I don't mean it literally, of trying to, you know, there has to be minimum standard. So, you know, begida, and then there can be a view that says there's no divorce at all. We just, you know, if you're going to choose to get married, then you have to stick it out. There could be a toxic environment in which it's impossible to achieve, you know, baal ki ishto, you know, and everything that goes along with it. No. So even then, you know, that's not, you know, the kind of perspective on ishus, frankly, you know, that is consistent with Machzor Grushaso. On the other hand, let's say, you know, what the Yerushalmi is trying to say is, we see from here, you know, that you don't need a ksav. So what is ma'inyan ksav? It's all called this whole question of, you know, kakot and shenola dami, and the answer is, if the ksav, you know, is a shiur, you know, again, you know, and not just, you know, oh, you know, you have to be married, and if there is divorce, you know, but you can do it, you know, in a very, you know, convenient way. It's not a matir. It's just, you know, dismantling the heter ishus, the heter bia, basically. That, there's no Machzor Grushaso in that. That's not universal. That's not going to carry over. Understand what I'm saying? Now, what about the other view in the Gemara? You know, the one that says, oh, either one of them can initiate the get. Is that just like a narrower ha'ara, or, you know, expanded, or you know, you don't need to create ishus only by the husband, necessarily. It's mutual, so, or it's not, there's no din of ki, equivalent of ki yikach, you know, for ben noach, so there's no, you know, in get. Or no, or is that also, you know, kind of a symptomatic, you know, that we're not dealing with the same chalos gerushin. So the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, you know, is very interesting in that respect. The Bini, you saw it? Per Tes Halacha Chas. We're going to stop in 1 minute. Shiyichet, yeah. Okay, by that part, right. So this is, of course, again, very interesting, because there are certain, you know, this is a little bit feeds on what Baruch was saying too, which is there are certain chumras, whether it's, you know, there's no divorce, or you know, certain relationships that wouldn't qualify for marriage for Klal Yisrael, you know, including just Biabli, Avison, and so on and so forth. You know, it sounds like it's easier to construct the marriage. You know, right, but that could be that's a function of the absence, you know, of higher aspirations and standards. Okay, but go ahead. So you might end up with more violations of Eishes Ish, right, than you do for Yisrael, not because we're more makbid on Kedushas Ishes Benoach, but because we just define it in a narrower way. Okay, good. Keep going. Oh, now that's already very informal, correct? Okay. Okay. So this Rambam is very interesting, I think. He's combining, you know, two different points. Right. Now again, according to the Pnei Moshe, was whatever read, or the Korban Eda read rather, you know, these are really actually two different views of the Yerushalmi. You know, one is Ein Lahem Ksav, and the other one is, you know, either one, you know, can initiate, you know, the Gerushim, right? So it could be just that the Rambam didn't read it that way. He read it, you know, the other way. But either way, like, let's say you read it the, you know, the Pnei Moshe way, you know, so one Deya says there's no Gittin at all. The other one says, you know, either one can initiate. There's nothing in there that says that it doesn't need a Ksav. Right? So, Mimanashach. You know, either the Rambam is combining two Deyas, assuming these are the two ways to read the Yerushalmi, either he's combining the two ways, or he is projecting on one of the ways, right, the way that says that, you know, either way, either one can initiate the Gerushin, he's projecting on that what? That there's no Biksav. And some of the Farshim ask, like, how does he know that? Oh. But if, you know, we say that these are connected, what Rama's really, really trying to say is that there's Gerushin for Ben Noach, just like there is Kiddushin for Ben Noach. You know, but just like, you know, Matan Torah came along and didn't just add a couple of pratim, you know, Edikium and Erusin, Kodim the Nisuin, and so on and so forth. It, you know, basically transformed, you know, a very minimum, you know, definition of Ishus, which is still very important, don't get me wrong, I'm not dismissing it. You know, it transformed it into this intricate chalos, etc. And that's gufo what happened, you know, in Gerushin too. And that is, you know, symbolized by the need to be matir and to create an alternative chalos, not just to walk away, you know, from this marriage. So there's no verbal get, and you need a ksav, and for the very same reason, you know, either one can initiate, you know, the gerushin, because it has nothing to do, you know, you don't have that technically in their kiddushin, but even more to the point, you know, it's basically about ending, which can be from either side, you know, the relationship. So I think when you think about that, and then you go back to the Rambam, you know, who says that the mitzvah of Gerushin is the method of Ksiva, and he himself, you know, was either Mechadesh, that these are not mutually exclusive, or even more preposterous, it doesn't say in Yerushalmi anything about Ksav, but is assuming that the second that you say either one can initiate, that by definition there's no Ksav, and then you see the emphasis on there's no Ksav, there is a Ksav in you know, in halachic mitzvahs Gerushin, when you put that together, it really reinforces the idea that the you know, the methodology, and particularly the Ksiva, including the, you know, initiation of the Baal, you know, all of these things are transformative, you know, qualitatively, you know, in establishing what Gerushin and Kiddushin really are. Okay. Having said that, okay, we'll have to stop. So I want to still go back. I'm sorry this took longer than I wanted. Got a little sidetracked with some things, but, you know, important things. Let's Sunday really try to make the push to go back to figure out what's a chiyuv, what's a mitzvah, what's an iser, what's neutral, you know, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, in, you know, and a little more in the sugya. If you get a chance, probably worth looking at the, at, you know, just in terms of terminology, you know, some of the Achronim point this out, it's probably worth looking at the Gemara in in Shabbos, Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, for Rabbi Akiva, where they talk about, you know, another formulation of, you know, Matzah Isha, you know, Noah Hemenu, probably worthwhile looking at that. And also, in terms of, you know, Hikdicha Tavshilo, just the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, you know, Amud Beis, where the Gemara uses that expression as well. But, you know, mostly to think about things that we've already discussed and to, like, put a little more teeth in some of the details, but try to finish that Yud Hashem Sunday. And then I want to go back, as I say, so I can say a few more things about Masu Grushasa in light of this discussion in the Yerushalmi and Yerushalmi's question about, you know, whether according to Beit Shammai there's a viable Iser Masu Grushasa, you know, an possible answer to that question, and so on. Okay? Sorry for